Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, as we continue our Sunday morning series straight through the gospel according to Luke, and where we find these spirit-breathed words of life and what it means to follow the one who faithfully leads us, the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the gift of your incarnate Son. We thank you that he set his face to go to Jerusalem for us and our salvation. Grant us the grace and fortitude, the determination of your Holy Spirit, that we may set our face to follow Jesus. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we saw last week from Luke chapter 9 and verse 51, that turning point in Luke's gospel, when the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And in Luke's description of Jesus and his determination to go to Jerusalem, he was borrowing the language of the third of the four servant songs in the book of Isaiah. He was borrowing the language of Isaiah 50, in which we hear the servant of the Lord say, "I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint." That is a hard, unbreakable rock. "I've set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near." Jesus had counted the cost of going to Jerusalem. He knew what he was getting into: betrayal, forsakenness, unjust conviction, beatings that would render him unrecognizable, the mocking, the spitting, the horror and shame of the cross, the judgment of God, the darkness of Calvary, as he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus knew what was awaiting him in Jerusalem, and he set his face to go there anyway, because he was devoted to do the will of his Father, and because of his love for you. Now, Luke contrasts that resolve of Jesus with the lack of resolve of these three would-be followers of Jesus. If Jesus had set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem, we might say that they, at least some of them, had sort of set their faces like jello to follow Jesus. So we should ask ourselves this morning, is my face more like the flint that characterized Jesus' face to do the Father's will? Or is it more like jello in my resolve to follow Jesus? Let's think through it together under two headings. First, the would-be followers of Jesus, and second, a nobler way. First, the would-be followers of Jesus. Luke tells us that as Jesus and his disciples were walking along a certain road, someone in the crowd that was following with them said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." In Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 8, Matthew tells us that this man was a scribe. In other words, he was a theological scholar who was trained and ordained to study and copy and teach the law. They were sometimes called rabbis or teachers of the law, that is, teachers of the Torah, the law of Moses. In Matthew's account, this teacher said to Jesus, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." So this man, who was a highly respected teacher, was communicating respect for Jesus, who was not traditionally trained and ordained as a scribe, as a rabbi or a teacher. He's showing respect for Jesus, knowing that many of his colleagues, the other scribes, were very hostile toward Jesus and were already plotting his demise. So he showed great respect, but Jesus knew this man's heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. Jesus was able to discern something else going on in this man's heart. He knew that this man had not yet counted the cost of following Jesus. So Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Jesus was telling this man that for Jesus and his followers, this world is not our home. This world is often not an entirely hospitable climate for Jesus and his followers. There was no room for Jesus in the inn at his birth. He was run out of his hometown of Nazareth when he went to minister the gospel of free grace to them. In the words of John chapter 1, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. He was rejected by the Samaritans, as we saw last week, and he was on his way to Jerusalem, where Jews and Gentiles would conspire together against him, the Lord's anointed, and crucify him. So to this theologian, Jesus said, "I know there is some fanfare and excitement right now in this crowd that is following me, but be sure to count the cost of following me. It can mean being unpopular. It can mean being rejected. It can even cost you your life." And to another man, Jesus said in verse 59, "Follow me." But this man responded, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said, "Leave the dead," likely meaning those who were spiritually dead, that is, unbelievers, to bury their undead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Of course, Jesus wasn't saying that we shouldn't care for our parents or see to their proper burial or attend their funerals, whether they are unbelievers or believers. Scripture is full of examples set forth as patterns to follow of children laying their parents to rest. That was intimated even in Ruth's words to Naomi, "Where you are buried, I will be buried." There's a premium, there's an importance, a preeminence, as I'll mention in a minute, put on honoring one's parents, one's loved ones, in burial. Genesis 25 tells us of how Isaac and Ishmael buried Abraham. Genesis 35 makes a point of noting that Esau and Jacob buried Isaac. Genesis 50 tells us of how Joseph and his brothers honored Jacob by going to great lengths to bury him where Abraham and Isaac had been buried. According to the rabbis, providing an honorable burial for your loved ones was of preeminent importance. Nothing more important in the minds of the rabbis and thus the Jews of Jesus' day. So Jesus was not saying that this wasn't important. What he was saying was that following him is of even greater importance. He's taking something that had preeminence in the minds of the Jewish people, and he's saying, okay, that is important, but following me is of even greater importance. That is the preeminent thing for the disciple. Putting Jesus first in your life actually helps you love others far better than you could if you put them first in your life. C.S. Lewis put it this way: when I have learned to love God better than my earthly dearest, I shall love my earthly dearest better than I do now. Insofar as I learn to love my earthly dearest at the expense of God and instead of God, I shall be moving towards the state in which I will not love my earthly dearest at all. When first things are put first, second things are not suppressed, but increased. And along those same lines, we have the lesson of verses 61 and 62. Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Again, we mustn't think that Jesus was saying that we shouldn't love and care for our family and friends. Following him does not mean abandoning our love and care for them. As Lewis reminds us, it increases our love and care for them in the right way. It's a matter of priority. The same Jesus who, as he was dying on the cross, entrusted the care of his mother to his beloved disciple. Now think of that. Jesus is taking on the full weight of our sin. He's dying in our place. He's experiencing the judgment of God, the indescribable physical pain of crucifixion after having been beaten almost to death. And he looks at his mother and he says to John, his disciple, "Behold your mother." In other words, take care of my mom. That's the heart of Jesus on the cross. So Jesus isn't saying don't care for your loved ones. But the same Jesus who did that is the same Jesus, we should remember, who at the age of 12 said to his exasperated mother, who finally found him in the temple, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Jesus honored his family, he loved his friends, but his ultimate devotion was and always will be to his heavenly Father. He said, "I always do that which pleases him." He said that the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. So it is a matter of giving the allegiance of your heart ultimately to the Lord. Following Jesus without looking back on what you might be missing if you weren't following the Lord. Be like trying to plow a field, but looking back. Well, you're just going to be zigzagging all over the place. You don't keep your gaze on the goal at the end of the row. These three would be followers, and Luke doesn't tell us, what happened. Maybe to leave it open for us to examine ourselves and say, okay, how am I going to respond to this? These three would be followers of Jesus, perhaps to varying degrees, had set their face more like jello at this point. Jesus called each of them to set his face like a flint and to follow him no matter the cost. And that takes us to our second point, a nobler way. An example of a nobler way is from our Old Testament reading. There's so much we could say about that saintly woman, Ruth, and as Dennis hinted at, if you weren't able to join us on Sunday evenings for our study of Ruth, those sermons are available online. What a fascinating story of redemptive love, romantic love. It has it all. Wonderful story. Most of all, of God's chesed love, his loving kindness for his people, and how when that grips a person like Ruth, she shows it to others. But just let those words of Ruth chapter 1, beginning in verse 16, be an encouragement for you to cling to Jesus and follow him. Ruth clung to her mother-in-law, and again she said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you." She protests. It's kind of like when Jesus says, "Now you better count the cost of following me." And we protest and say, "Lord, where else shall we go? What else am I to do? I must follow you. So unlike Orpah, who did turn back to the gods of her upbringing. We don't know all the details of her spiritual, what she did, but that she turned away. She's an example of someone turning away. Ruth said, on the other hand, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined, she was not backing down. When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So friends, let us follow in the footsteps of our sister Ruth, who was so gripped by that chesed love of God, that loving kindness of God, that she was determined to show that love to Naomi and ultimately to follow Naomi's God. trusting. These were steps of faith. Ruth was saying she'd never been to Bethlehem. She didn't know what was going to be there. But she was trusting, taking steps of faith in following this God who had so loved her. May she inspire us in our determination to set our faces like a flint, to follow the one who set his face to go to Jerusalem and bleed and die for us there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.